knowing that's your red guitar. So taking a risk, following that. And if you keep seeing that thing across the room, again, kind of air quotes on that, across the room in life, and you're seeing it, don't keep ignoring it. It's there for a reason. And it will lead you to your purpose. It may not be, it's probably not it, but it's obviously, like we talked before about, we're evolving. And I think you don't just find your purpose. It's something that kind of evolves with you, and then you wake up in it.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, I get to speak with Ken Stearns. Ken is a writer, lyricist, photographer, and podcast creator. He's a well-traveled, seasoned Midwestern kid who is beginning his third act in life for himself and for others too. 14 months ago, he traded in his suit for a van, a mic, some questions, and started his own traveling podcast called The Jar. 6 months into this journey, The Jar giving him so much more than he ever imagined. With 300 guests on his podcast so far in 90 cities, he's been able to explore the most intimate questions about their views on life from across all kinds of people in all corners of the US. Join us as we delve into the profound stories, intimate conversations, and valuable insights that have shaped Ken's incredible journey. Ken, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast.
Junaid, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. So what's amazing is that we are in the middle of a brand new year. Not in the middle of it, just...
Feels like we're already in the middle.
Feels like it's already in the middle because there's so many things happening. And just super excited. So talk to me about, Ken, what inspired you to become this well-traveled seasoned kid, and you're in your third act of your life. What inspired you to say, hey, this is what I want to do? Why did you start the podcast, The Jar?
Yeah. It's a great question, Junaid. I really asked myself a question, and I think it's a great question for a lot of people to ask themselves, which is, what do I want to be? What does my life look like? Try to transport myself when I'm 75. What am I doing? What does my life look like at that age? And I asked that when I was 52-ish, and it sent me on a journey. And giving that, it's almost like a true north question for your own self. And it, a lot of stuff happens inside your head after that. And, you know, I ended up buying a guitar, writing a book, and somehow coming up with this idea of driving around the US and interviewing people in their homes with this jar of questions. How I ended up doing that is a mystery to me. I think it's that creative iterative process where you just, you come up with an idea and that idea grows and it morphs and then it changes over time. But really it was that first question of what I want to be. And I knew I wanted to be. I wanted to be sharing, writing, speaking, meeting people, and hearing people's stories. Because that was one part of my job when I lived overseas doing insurance that I really enjoyed, was hearing all the different stories, their personal stories that people have, that the checkout counter, when you're at the grocery store, that person has an incredible story, possibly. Maybe ordinary, vanilla, but it's still a story. Yeah. And it'll have some amazing pieces to it. So it's really that quest to find out who I was going to be, what my life looked like, and then following that question.
So what you're telling me is that for a long part of your life, you were traveling around the world already being an insurance salesman, right? So you're already having those conversations and you thought to yourself, what if this is all you did? Because then you're removing that transactional part of, okay, now that I've talked to you, are you going to buy a sales insurance or not?
Yeah. It frees you of the transactional part. Exactly. And it's, you really are free to listen to the story. Yeah. And being a story hunter, in a way, hunting these stories down. But eventually I became the custodian, if you will. And that may not be the perfect word, but it's quite close. I feel a kind of a sense of responsibility when I get the story and I hold on to it, and then you publish it and make sure you share that and give people something for life. I would do crazy stuff to hear my father on my podcast or something similar, to have that hold on to that memory and that real in-depth look at somebody. It's a gift that we're giving now.
No, you're absolutely right. And you're free to enjoy the conversation or not, right? Sometimes you might not enjoy the conversation, but what's beautiful about making an intention or making this a priority, or this is as an intention of going into, hey, I'm going to learn about their story. I think what's really powerful is that now you're freeing them up to be true to themselves, as opposed to tied down, like, no, maybe I don't want to do that. But what's cool is that you were able to go out there, talk to about 300 people, 90 different cities.
Yeah.
What was one of the most intimate answers or questions that you got that you're like, wow, that's deep?
It's a good question. There's so many stories flash in front of me. Mm-hmm. I think some of the toughest couple of cities was Ohio. And I had this really great Airbnb, and it was in basically cornfields. Mm-hmm. I was in an old 1850s house, one of these farmhouses built almost probably 200 years ago. Mm-hmm. And had this beautiful porch, as you'd expect, big cornfield across the way. Yeah. And the horse and buggy would go by, and just really old timey.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the stories from two different mothers losing their kids to overdose, to drugs, in the smallest, tiniest part of the country stuff.
Yeah.
And so to sit with that and to hear mother's pain, right? And man, just tough. And there were two in a row. The town, the whole area had been decimated by heroin and fentanyl. Young kids, the drugs had just come into the towns through whatever distribution, didn't matter.
Sure.
Small towns, and kids are bored and they're easily entertained by some drug, and they make mistakes. And moms losing their kids, toughest stories. And to sit with that, I'm not a therapist, but I definitely learned a lot of respect for therapists during those 300 interviews.
Man, that is absolutely powerful. What's really inspiring is being able to invite these people to these questions or invite these people to the podcast, because not only, I don't know how many no's you got, but it would be fun to see. No, I'm not really into it.
It is interesting. People are curious, very curious, Junaid, right up to the point of, why don't we book a time? But you should be a guest.
Yeah.
And then there's that instant reflection of I don't know why people say no, honestly. If it's a fear, because it's not live, right? Where it's very intimate. We sit down, we have a jar, and I've got a couple of cameras going, but they're dead. They're just recording.
Sure.
But the people that say yes, I always liken them to, the analogy I came up with was, they're, when I meet them, when they're ready to tell their story, they're on this road. There's a crossroads that they're at, and they're on this new road that they just came off this other road, and they've got this map. It's a brand new map, and they got a pencil and a compass, and that's what they have. And they want to tell their story. I was on that road over there.
Yeah.
That was a road. Let me tell you the story. But they're, because I met a lot of the people I met had been through something, and they wanted to share it, but they were in a better place when I met them. Most everybody, there were some people that were still in that other road.
Right.
It was interesting, Junaid. I never said no to anybody. So our selection process was quite interesting. In the end, though, it was really a first come, first serve in about 70%. The other 30 were people I would ask, I would invite. So I've been to halfway houses where it was a little bit heavy, even a little bit dangerous. right? Mm. For me, rocking up and looking at the place and going, I would never go in this. I would never in a million years in my life imagined I'd be going into this house.
Yeah.
There I was going in with my, dragging my cart with my big jar, my microphones and my tripod and rocking up. And I, your studios, we talked before, I love your studio and it's inspired me for my other, for another podcast I do to really get my studio looking quality.
Yeah.
I had a unique experience of almost every recording I did was in a new place. And I just had to set up and make the best out of whatever table we had or no table or on the floor in somebody's apartment. So it was, that part's very interesting, very dynamic. And you never knew, I really never knew when I rocked up in my van, my big old van, and I never knew what was behind the door.
Yeah. I think I love that, the uncertainty of what's going to happen, right? I think Tony Robbins talks, if everything is certain, gets boring really fast. And I think that's
really
what happens
fast.
When you're working a job, you know exactly what it is that you're expected to do, you know exactly what the deliverables are, exactly what the people are going to say around you. And it gets boring, right? There's no more uncertainty. And I think that's why some of the actors, they like to do some uncertain things like shoplifting or some other, you know, things that we know about. They want that excitement. And
I agree.
Doing this podcast where you don't know who's going to be on the other side of the door, what the story they're going to share, I think that's really powerful. And what I'm seeing, the through line of the people who did agree to come and talk to you on the podcast, where they're already healing or they're going through the healing process, right?
Yeah.
People who are still going through it, they're waiting for the healing to start. I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they really were in the healing process, you know, and some of them were still in the middle of the stuff, the poopy.
Yeah.
They were still just a few. And those are interesting because they know, if I look back on some of those and I can get some of the images of the people and the places, they know they're in the middle of it. And they're, in a way, talking to me was that arm out of the hole and finding ground, level ground.
Yeah.
And a chance to tell the story. During the interview, you can see people take a 360 view of themselves because the questions are all about life.
Yeah.
And it does force them to do a lot of reflection during the interview and questions they never think of. I should correct myself. All questions you think of, but you never articulate. So in the jar, that's what I always tell people is everything in here is nothing you haven't thought about, but you've very rarely articulated it. It's in your head and jumbled thoughts and different conversations with people, but you've never heard yourself say these words about this topic. And so there's something really cathartic about it to watch people do this 360 view. And they're like, did I just say, is that what I believe? That's what I believe about that. Okay. And so it's really grounding and also in another way.
Totally love the part about how when you ask a question and you preface it, we've all thought these questions before.
Yeah.
But because they're inside our heads, we're not spoken it. We are now invited by somebody else to speak the answer.
Yeah. Yes.
And sometimes when you speak the answer, it also almost always starts to resolve also.
Yeah.
Right? Like just 2 weeks ago, I was asking my friend about something that I wanted to do in this app. And she's, I don't know what you're saying because I'm texting. She's, I don't know what you're saying. Can you send me a voice note instead?
Okay.
So when I voiced it, I was like, wait, I already found a solution. I love talking it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is something about the spoken word, the power of it. And assembling those thoughts in your head and then being forced to put them into logical order, which is what you did. You gathered all the questions.
Yeah.
And then once you laid them out, you went, oh, I know the answer.
Man,
yeah,
I love
interesting.
It. Ken, how did you, like, so we're going to be talking about how you change your career and your life and your purpose. And what point in somebody's life can they say, hey, this is my purpose? Or how would somebody find their purpose? Give us some.
Yeah, this is a tough question. And I think I've I think the closest I've gotten to this is come back to that question. The question about what do I want, what does my life look like? And I think that will be true north, as I said before, right? Yeah, it'll tell you if, because you had said it before about freeing you up. It frees up those other things that you're, the transactional part of life. It gets rid of kids, grandkids, friends. It gets you out of this space today, because in the noise of today, the everyday noise and the things that you've got going on, there's no way you can think, is my purpose? Yeah, how are you going to find your purpose? My brain was so noisy. I look back now and I thought I had it together. Like, this is the best part. I thought I was really in a great place.
Yeah.
I was a mess. I look back, holy cow. Mm-hmm. And so there was no way I would ever find my purpose.
Yeah.
And I did it by a couple of things. And so maybe I'll tell a couple of the stories and people can try to meld their own version or their own way through.
I like that.
But I think for sure the first thing is, what does my life look like when I'm 70? And if you're younger, you may want to say 60. Mm-hmm. But I think there is something about the older part that does give you joy. What gives me joy? You'll find out, because that's almost the question. What gives me joy? But that's centered on today. So you have to put it in another time.
Right.
And that will strip away some of the other things in your life. The other one is follow. Look, the universe is a real thing. And it is it's trying to tell you. You are the universe, like we are the dumbest people on the planet, because the universe is really trying all the time, knocking at your door, telling you over here and following those clues. The one thing, I decided to buy a guitar for goofy reasons. And maybe that was part of my question, right? Part of my question. And then somehow this idea came out that it was an unresolved part of my life. When I was buying the guitar, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue. I'm in this huge guitar store in Las Vegas, 100 guitars in this room. I'm totally intimidated. 10 minutes into the app at this thing, I'm realizing I probably am over my head. I don't even know. I know left-handed, right-hand guitar. That's it. And all the air guitar I've played over my 62 years, doesn't matter when I'm in a real guitar store. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I meet this guy. I come face to face with this guy. He'd been in the room, walking around, picking up guitars and playing. And I came in front of him and I looked at him and I just confessed. I had confessional. Hi, my name's Ken. I haven't had a guitar since I was 16. I want to buy a guitar. I want to play it at my ripe old age of 50. What do you recommend? And he just looked at me and he said, get the red one. And I'm sure my face looked a little bit contorted because that was not the answer I was expecting. The red one. And he just looked at me and he goes, the one across the room, a crowded room. You can't take your eyes off of it. The one you want to hold, the one you want to caress. Get that one. And wow, like sage life advice.
Wow.
In a guitar store and how to pick a guitar. And I think it's the same thing, Janae, you could apply this to your question, which is finding your purpose, which is pick the red one. You know, the one you can't stop thinking about, the one across the crowded room, air quoting for people listening.
Yeah.
It's the one you can't take your eyes off, the one you can't stop thinking about. That's your purpose. And then all the reasons why you shouldn't are, then that's the noise, right? That's your silly part of your body talking to you. There's a million reasons why you shouldn't do a lot of things. When you have these ideas that come back to you and it's the red one, go with it. Don't think about it. Just do it.
That's funny when you mentioned the red guitar. Actually took me back to the movie, The Matrix.
Ooh.
And it's when the first time Neo has entered the Matrix through when he's back on Zion. Okay. And the program was like, did you notice the one in the red? Because she put a girl who was wearing the red dress.
He's like, yes.
Like, yes, I designed that. I'm like, oh, interesting. So that's the person in the red. You couldn't take in this, all this mundane reality. You see this one person in a red dress. And oh, that's the purpose. That's what I should be doing.
That's your purpose. And you'll keep seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you'll keep seeing the red dress. because that's your purpose and you're supposed to go there.
Yeah.
And that's the place you can really serve humanity and by serving yourself in a weird way.
So, Ken, how did you see yourself in the van when you quit your job after? You know, was that a red van?
Yeah, it was I quit my job in the fall, basically the fall of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And so I left Asia in 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, exactly, and landed in California. I had parked myself not too far away from the dealership that would have the van.
Yeah.
And they would get new vans every week. And I just figured I'd be there maybe a month.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, a couple of weeks in, they got a van and it was tan and the colors worked out really good, matched my logo.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's funny being patient and waiting. It served up the perfect vehicle. Everything matched. The colors matched. What I needed on it matched. One interesting thing that happened and that I realized after some time, I had never done an interview, right? I was not an interview person. I was an insurance guy. I was an executive. Yeah. And so for me to sit down and do these kinds of interviews would just terrifying. Like I would no way I could, they would say something and I would just, my brain would freeze. And you know, and what a bad show that is. So I knew I had to, the questions were there as a crutch for me in the beginning. Yeah. But the funny part was in the van, how did I see myself?
Mm.
I lived it so many times in my brain over and over and over again. Maybe I've done 1,000 setups and teardowns and meetings in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So it was strange. I realized only after a few months, I realized I've already done this.
Mm-hmm.
This is strange. Every time I open the van, every time I do everything, it feels like I've done it before.
Yeah.
And so I think living through the imagination and running through these things in your head with the detail, trying to get down to as much detail as you can helps shape your purpose.
That's really powerful. Man, this has been a lot of fun, Ken. We're going down the depth of human psyche. And hey, this is what it takes. This is what you gotta think about when you really want change.
Yeah,
right? That's what we're doing. We're doing change. And to be able to do that, you have to decide, and decide means to eliminate everything else. Just this past week, I was at Podfest, and one of my friends who visited, he drove 40 hours or something to get there. And I really needed that time alone.
Yeah, I understand.
You got the road and you got your mind going and you can solve all sorts of world problems when you're doing that, because you're maximizing time. You're cutting down all of the noises, because that's what it is, right? When you're sitting in front of a computer on your phone, you got notifications, you got all these red dots coming pop.
Yes.
And when you're in the car, I'm like, nope, I'm just boom, going here. Love it.
You agree 100%. Cutting out the noise is one of the hardest things to do. And that's why I think thinking about what you want to be when you grow up helps eliminate a lot of that noise, because it takes you past all the road signs, all the stop signs, all the traffic lights, honking horns, and it puts you into a place when you're, like I said, 75. And it really forces you, if you really take that question deeply, it's quite powerful.
I love when you said, when you grow up, think about when you want to be when you grow up.
Yeah.
And that's so funny, because people tell me, Janet, I want to be like you when I grow up. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm younger than you. But we are continually growing, right?
Absolutely.
You got time to go. It's not like we both started at zero. We both started at different times. It's really fun to look at it from that new perspective.
Yeah, we're all on the different ends of this. We're all on the spectrum of growth, right?
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you're growing faster. Sometimes you're maybe standing still.
Yeah.
Parts in life when I think you have to stand still. I look back, being a parent there's a lot of noise being a parent, right? And you're in survival mode. I look at my daughter and she's in survival mode.
Yeah.
She's got a couple, 3 under 7, but it's just, it's chaos in the house, right? It's chaos in the house. So it's hard to find space there or calm.
It's so true.
So there are times when we pause our growth for other things, right? We make sacrifices. And certainly I think that's an important point to make for people to understand is it's not everybody can't do what I did. I had I was very uniquely a little bit crazy and well positioned to do something different. And I had a couple purposes behind it. So everybody's in a different spot on that spectrum of growth and in a different time. There's time for growth and time for develop your who you are in that space. And then there's times, but you've got to prepare and always be thinking about where you want to be in the end.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful because yes, it was interesting that you said that we have to sometimes pause our growth. Wouldn't it be awesome if you were to grow? As parents, we are growing.
Yes,
To be better equipped for our children. Like I have four kids, right? 14, 9, 6, and 1.
Okay, yeah, it's a little chaotic in the house.
So as I see them growing, I was like, how can I grow with them?
Yes.
And I remember when I was a new parent, my 1-year-old, he spit up just a little bit on me. And I got really annoyed. What the heck are you? What's going on?
Like, you don't throw up on other people. Humans don't do that to each other.
My wife still makes fun of me. And then just last year, we were traveling across the country to go see my parents. And my 1-year-old was in this carrier and he pooped in his diaper and it leaked on all over my shirt. I was calm as a cucumber. Yeah.
It's nothing anymore because you've been through. Yeah. I like to think of it is growth. I think you're growing into that spot, if you will.
Yeah.
I think you're maturing. You're everything's coming together.
Yeah.
You're becoming that human that can look after other people, that can put somebody else's needs before yours. There's a lot. Being a parent is magical.
It is absolutely magical. Man. Let's take a quick break. And I just love this conversation. I'm fully awake.
I love it. Me too.
Fully awake. And I love the conversation. Let's take a quick break. And we get back. When we get back, you can share 3 hacks that individuals listening or can implement in their lives.
Okay. Sounds great.
We'll be right back. Are you ready to amplify your business? SPI Pro is your gateway to elevate your entrepreneurial journey, offering cutting-edge education, immersive training, and interactive collaborations. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, SPI Pro is the community for you, providing you access to professional networking and advice to accelerate your growth. To join, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SPI Pro. Join SPI Pro and transform your unique journey into a success story. Again, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SPI Pro. Hey guys, welcome back. We've been talking with Ken Stearns here on the podcast. Super, super engaging conversation. We're going deep into our minds because it's our minds that enable our realities to become real. And Ken did that with his own life. He's like, hey, you know what? I want to have more deeper conversations. I want to go to people, visit them where they live, and have these deep conversations with a jar of questions. And now I'm sure he barely might have reached into the jar because the questions just come naturally to him, Ken.
It does feel like I have a million questions floating in my head. It does feel that way.
Yeah. I love it. So Ken, you've got 3 hacks and then you taught some really amazing thing. You've got some 3 hacks that we can grab them by the horn and be like, hey, this is what I'm going to do today.
I'll go back to the one story, the red guitar we had talked. And I think knowing that's your red guitar. So taking a risk, following that. And if you keep seeing that thing across the room, again, kind of air quotes on that across the room in life, and you're seeing it, don't keep ignoring it. It's there for a reason. And it will lead you to your purpose. It may not be, it's probably not it, but it's obviously like we talked before about we're evolving. And I think you don't just find your purpose. It's something that kind of evolves with you and then you wake up in it, if that makes sense. The podcast was not my purpose. Oh. It was the vehicle to find it. The other thing is, the other kind of hack is don't, and say, I don't want to use the word don't, follow those other clues, maybe not as red, because they do lead you this kind of connected skipping stones or landing on the next rock, if you will. Yeah. I started the podcast and I did halfway through, I started a Mental Health Today show because I saw the mental health crisis. So I just willy-nilly almost, you could say, started a podcast on mental health. Didn't know anything about mental health.
Yeah.
Although I had become a therapist in a way, receiving these stories. And that led me to another place, which led me to another place. And now I'm going to end up moving and settling in Portland because somebody reached out to me from Portland. And without all the things that I've done, I'm not the right person for this job. It's crazy. The role is a very different role. And without having all that, without having followed that guitar, gone and grabbed a red guitar every time I saw it, it wouldn't have happened. The other hack I want to share is being really, Junaid, when we lay down to sleep, we have a powerful, our brain is so powerful.
Yeah.
And there's so much happening when we're in bed, when we're asleep. We're connecting to the greater energy sources. All the noise goes away once we're down into sleep. And asking your nighttime brain to solve problems for you. And then asking your nighttime brain to share that with your awake person. Because sometimes we don't remember our dreams quite often, or they come in a funny way and it doesn't make sense. So being intentional about what you want from your sleep and what you want your brain to do, we don't really know how powerful it is. But you said something that caught my attention before, which is creating reality. And this hack is a real life hack. Everything we see other than trees and nature was in man's mind before it was created. So you have the power of creation in your mind. Yeah. We are creators. Without imagining it at first, it never happens. So unless you're dreaming, unless you're imagining stuff, it's not going to happen. And if you imagine the wrong stuff, so being very intentional about putting good thoughts in your head, not remunerating on the bad stuff or thinking bad outcomes will happen, because that's what your mind will deliver that. Whatever you think will happen. And so I think it's that power of creation that's within your mind when you lay down to sleep at night. And then when you wake up, make sure that you're getting that information.
I love that. Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan talk about journaling before you go to sleep. Write down what did you achieve today and write down what you want accomplished tomorrow. So then your powerful brain, when it's sleeping, can make those a reality. And talk about reality, the names of the things that we know, but I'll go into that after.
Yeah, let's plug it into the quantum field, right? This huge energy source that we are a part of. And the journaling part is absolutely powerful. I've got my, can't quite see them, but I have probably about 20 statements.
Wow.
That I keep and I look at every night before I go to bed. Sponsors love partnering with our shows.
Yeah.
I'm attracting sponsors, advocates. Let's see another one. I'm in love with me.
Yeah, you crazy have to stuff. Love
no. Yeah. Oh, you got to love yourself. Oh, absolutely. You got to love yourself first.
Yeah.
You got to love yourself first. But you really, truly can't love somebody else until you find self-love.
My God, that's so powerful. The names of the things that we imagine in our brains. And I don't know if you've read the Bible or the Quran or not, but in it.
Yeah, right, both.
When God created Adam, he taught him all the words. And then he brought all the angels forward. He's like, okay, I'm going to ask you, and then you tell me if you know it. And we don't know. And then he asked Adam. Adam says the names of all the things. And then he's bowed down to Adam because he was able to, he knows all things that I taught him. But that's when Iblis or Satan, no, I'm not bowing down, I'm better than him. But what's interesting is that God told us, already put all the things in our minds that we now use on a daily basis. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I think the Bible's got a bunch of I don't know about the Quran as much, but the Bible's got a lot. If you look at the way it's written, there's a lot of hints in there that the mind, if you can imagine it, if you can see it, if you can believe it true, it's true.
Yep.
And there's multiple layers that those stories, I think, carry. There's fables and cute little anecdotes, but there's also some very intense human life hacks in there.
It's amazing. Awesome, man. So let's jump into the next section of our podcast. This one, it's rapid fire questions. It's number one.
Oh, great.
It's a quick one, not too complicated, hopefully. What is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Ooh, pottery. Still hope for me. Yeah. I picked up guitar, so I resolved that one.
Yeah.
It's a hobby, but pottery.
Pottery, like
very tactile, working with my hands. I love it. And I had a class in high school. So I got to play around with it in high school, and I thought something beautiful about the clay and holding it and being able to shape it, and then the firing and the colors.
Mm. No, that is a lot of fun. I think my sister got into it a couple of years ago, and I have one of the recreations back there.
Okay.
That she made this, like, awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. That's cool.
Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
I think I wanted to be my dad. Mm. He was a businessman, a coach, football, baseball, bat. He was our coach. Mm. So I wanted to be like my father. But it's interesting. I wrote a song. One of the things I do with guitar, Junaid, is I write. Then I'll play some chords and then eventually find words. And one of the songs that I wrote is called Free Man. It's probably my the one I wrote. And it was really about the prison of being into corporate. And so the question, the end part of that story is, what did I want to be? I wanted to be like him. And in that journey of trying to become somebody else, I imprisoned myself.
Yeah.
And
snipping yourself.
Yeah, because it wasn't my dream. I was trying to be somebody else. And when I got out, when I quit and I started, and when I finally did quit the corporate life, really quit corporate life, I became free in the one free to be who I really wanted to be.
Wow. I like it. Do you have it in the blog post or somewhere, the Free Man?
I haven't recorded it.
Okay.
I haven't recorded it, but I'll have the words.
Lyrics, like the words.
Yeah, the lyrics. I'll post the lyrics on LinkedIn and tag you.
Awesome. Perfect. So we can include it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
I think movies, I go back. I'm a fan for the nostalgia. Mm-hmm. I like Christmas Story. I like these kind of some of those old stories where there's so much going on underneath the story. And I think we lost a lot of that. Now there's a lot more distractions and less you have to read into what's going on. TV shows. I've been watching Ted Lasso lately. I don't know. That's pretty damn good. There's a lot. There's not much going on there. It's straight up just a little escape, life escapism. And really fun. I still go back, All in the Family. I look at back some of the sitcom stuff that I watched as a kid growing up, stuff that you couldn't air today because it'd be racist or whatever else it was. And I think that if I look back at All in the Family, that was the point. The point was he was a racist.
Yeah.
And that pretty much everybody was in on the joke and that we were all laughing at Archie and still had humility for him, still had love for the flawed human that he was.
That's so cool. Yeah, check out the VHS Club video podcast. It's a podcast with my friend Katie and Natalie. They talk about some in-depth movie reviews from the 90s, from the 80s. That was really fun. It's like a live show they do every Thursdays.
One thing to share, I think maybe quick along those lines and along the lines of the conversation. It's a tough question for me because I've removed myself from almost all TV and all music with words for about 2 years. So when I was writing the book and then also when I was doing music, I didn't watch anybody else's words. It's very strange.
No, but that's powerful.
If I listened to somebody else's words, and also those words may not be what the intention that I want to set in my own mind. So even now I listen back to some songs that I love and I love to sing, but actually they're very terrible for my brain, for my karma. Yeah. It's like country music songs are nice, but holy cow, man, it's not going to improve your life. If once a week you want to sing some, it's okay, but it doesn't set really good intentions in your head. Yeah. A lot of music is that way. Although but the thing is, I love music. So it was but definitely when I was writing the book, I had to get everybody else's words out of my head.
If you're on music without lyrics.
Bach cellos. It's been my jam.
Nice. I love it.
Really amazing stuff. It's God's music. Yeah. Cello is an amazing instrument for me. And then just the Bach sonata. Bach, forget what it is, but great stuff.
Nice. All right, next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Ooh. Oh, I'd want to be Dirty Harry. Nice. If I don't know how young the audience is or how old the audience is. But that was just such a great series for me. Clint Eastwood, iconic for my age group growing up. Just an amazing, kill the bad guys.
Nice.
Always on the, but always a bad guy within the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Also at the same time. So he played both sides. He was a good guy, but he's also a bad good guy.
I totally get that. Next up, who is your favorite superhero?
Who's my favorite superhero? Boy, it's a tough one, right? And if it's real cartoonish stuff, right? If I look at real, I go back in some superheroes.
Yeah.
Superman, I'll pick Superman because also, again, back to when it was real. It wasn't just cartoon stuff. And it was when we had the real TV show and really go into the phone booth and change this concept of how that would work. And the good guy within, and again, this nerdy guy, the duality of the person and the imperfections, Superman. And also, he's just always there.
Yeah, that's a good one for sure. All right, last question. If you were a board game, what would it be?
Cribbage. Is that a board game? It's a card game. You use a board. If I was a board game, I want to say Clue, but I think Clue might be it.
Mm-hmm. That's an awesome game. Your clue for all the answers.
Yeah. And the puzzle, right? Trying to get to the answer.
Yeah.
Right? Trying to get to the answer, constantly looking for that answer.
Yeah.
And I think I'm in search of it.
Man, I love that. Dude. Ken, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for taking the time, sharing your wisdom, your story, and the advice. And, you know, what you're doing is absolutely amazing. Where can my audience find you?
Yeah, Janae, thanks. I'm still thejar.live. So www.thejar.live is a great landing spot because you can find, there's links there to a lot of the other stuff I do up in the, somewhere in the, on that page, you can find more of me. Yeah. And then I'm on LinkedIn. Great. If anybody wants to be on one of my shows, I got a couple of shows going. I've just started a new show called The Humanist. And so it's called The Humanist Podcast. Starts this Friday. And it's mostly on LinkedIn. And it's really going to be live on LinkedIn and live on YouTube. And talking about this word flourishing. And what does it take to be flourishing in life? And how companies can get there with their employees. So it's another evolution of my story.
No, that's really amazing. Congratulations on launching another one.
Another one.
That's how we do it. There's so much to share.
There's so many, Janae, have you seen? There's so many amazing people to meet and to give a platform for them and let them share what they're doing.
I mean, I was hanging out with 2,000 of these at PodFest just last week.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely amazing. So much energy, so much abundance, so much open-heartedness. Like everybody wants to share and give you the opportunity to...
2,000 podcasters.
Yes.
Wow.
2,000 podcasters. Yeah.
That's not a small army of people really dedicated to it. If they're showing up there, they're dedicated to the craft.
Yeah. And this was their 10th year anniversary for PodFest. So they do it every year in Orlando, Florida. And I'd love to meet you in the one coming up next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
I think I'd like to go.
You're going to find your people in there, man. It's going to be so much fun. Maybe people you've already interviewed.
Probably a few. Who knows? For sure, a couple.
Yeah. Awesome,
sir. A couple. Thank you, Junaid, so much. Really appreciate the platform.
Absolutely. Can't wait to continue to connect and talk to you in a future episode.
Yeah, sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.